नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन सीरीज ऑन द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। So far we covered the first 55 chapters of the 10th canto. Today we will begin the 56th chapter. And in the previous episode we have seen Krishna's first marriage. So Krishna's first queen was Rukmini Devi, and yesterday we have seen elaborately how Rukmini Devi wrote a love letter to Krishna, and Krishna came to Kundinapur and kidnapped Rukmini Devi and married her at Dwaraka. And today we will discuss about the remaining marriages of Krishna. Krishna had 16,108 queens, and the first queen was Rukmini Devi, and the second queen was Jambavati, third queen was Satyabhama, and then Mitravinda, Nagnajiti, Kalindi, and other queens were there. So today we will discuss the remaining 16,107 marriages of Krishna in this episode. So Sukadeva Goswami begins in the 56th chapter of 10th canto, the episode of Shamantakamani. So there was a citizen in Dwaraka, and his name was Satrajit. Although Satrajit was a resident of Dwaraka Dham, which is the eternal abode of Krishna, still Satrajit worshipped a devata, worshipped a demigod, Surya Dev. So after worshipping sun god and pleasing sun god in all respects, Satrajit received a very precious gift from sun god, and that gift was Shamantakamani. So this Shamantakamani is said to be very auspicious, and wherever Shamantakamani stays, there will not be any natural calamities, and there won't be any physical diseases or any other inauspicious things would not happen when Shamantakamani is there. And not only that, Shamantakamani will also produce 8 bharas of gold every day. So Satrajit became so happy. So Shamantakamani is providing material opulence, lot of wealth, and also creating auspiciousness. So Satrajit was so proud of this Shamantakamani, and he received this Shamantakamani gift from sun god and wore it around his neck, this beautiful jewel. He wore it around his neck and entered Dwaraka. So when Satrajit was coming inside Dwaraka wearing the Shamantakamani, which was shining like sun, all the Dwarakavasis saw Satrajit shining like this, and then they thought that he must be sun god, because the effulgence of Shamantakamani was so much that the innocent citizens of Dwaraka, some citizens, they thought that the sun god is coming to have a meeting with Krishna. So they came running towards Krishna and then informed Krishna, "Krishna, sun god is coming to meet you." And Krishna looked at them and smiled at them, and he saw this innocent people and told that, "My dear citizens, it's not sun god, this is Satrajit." So Satrajit is a worshipper of sun god, and he received Shamantakamani from sun god, and he's wearing it around his neck, and then he's coming to Dwaraka. So don't think that he is sun god. And all the citizens went back, and Satrajit went inside his house, and he kept this Shamantakamani on a beautiful altar, and the Shamantakamani was shining so nicely, and different people were coming to Satrajit's house to see this precious jewel. Then once Krishna met Satrajit and requested Satrajit, "My dear Satrajit, you are having this precious jewel Shamantakamani that can cause great auspiciousness to the place where it is staying, and also this Shamantakamani is giving 8 bharas of gold every day. So what will you do with all this gold? You are one person. So if all the rain in the monsoon just comes in one person's courtyard only, he won't be able to maintain it. So that rain is supposed to be distributed everywhere. So such a precious jewel, Shamantakamani, is supposed to be with the king. So please give this Shamantakamani to Ugrasena, he is the king, and he can utilize all the wealth that is coming from the Shamantaka money for the welfare of citizens, of all Dwarka citizens. Satrajit became offended. Krishna, why are you asking me Shamantaka money? I worshipped Sun God and I received this Shamantaka money as a gift. So I cannot give it. So out of greed for money, out of a lot of possessiveness towards this material object, Satrajit said no to Krishna. He denied the request of Krishna. So Satrajit was a resident of Dwaraka, the abode of the Supreme Lord, but he is a worshipper of a demigod. Second, Satrajit was attached to a material object, Shamantaka Mani, and he rejected the instruction or suggestion of Krishna. So when we have too much of attachment to material objects, we could even go against the will of God. So we cannot listen to the advice of the Supreme Lord or His devotees when we are too much materially attached. So being in the Dwaraka Dham, Satrajit is worshipping a demigod and getting attached to material object. So this material object, Shamantaka Mani, which is believed to be the cause of great auspiciousness, became very inauspicious in the life of Satrajit because he went against the will of Krishna. He disrespected Krishna. He disregarded Krishna's advice. So in future you will see that this very auspicious Shamantaka Mani will become the cause of Satrajit's death. So we will see as the episode progresses. So Krishna, when he requested Satrajit, Satrajit said no to it. Then after some time, Satrajit's brother Prasenajit took the Shamantaka Mani and wore it as a necklace around his neck, and he went on a horse for hunting. So then when he went to the forest to hunt, then one big lion came and attacked Prasenajit and killed Prasenajit and took the Shamantaka Mani and went. And the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra Jambavan, the king of bears, he saw this lion and then thought that, oh, this lion is carrying a very precious jewel. So what will this lion do? So this Jambavan came and then fought with this lion and took that Shamantaka Mani and then gave it as a plaything to his child. So like that, this Satrajit Shamantaka Mani went into the hands of Jambavan in the forest. Now Satrajit was waiting for his brother Prasenajit to come back. But Prasenajit did not come from hunting. So Satrajit started doubting. Doubting whom? Doubting Krishna directly. So Satrajit went and accused Krishna. Krishna, you have asked for this Shamantaka Mani and I said no to you. So you have killed my brother Prasenajit and you have stolen Shamantaka Mani. So because Krishna has stolen butter in his childhood from the gopis of Vrindavan, so people were thinking that he will steal jewels when he is grown up. So Satrajit unnecessarily accused the Supreme Lord Krishna. And now Krishna had to prove his innocence. Krishna has not killed Prasenajit. Krishna has not taken Shamantaka Mani. So Krishna said, my dear Satrajit, it's not proper for you to just accuse me without having a proper evidence. Then Satrajit said, I have evidence. You have asked for Shamantaka Mani. I did not give you. That's why you have become greedy for it. Then Krishna said, give me a few days to prove my innocence. Then Krishna took permission from the elders in the Yadu dynasty in Dwaraka. And then he went out, taking few companions, he went to the forest. So he followed the path of Prasenajit. So he went in the, Prasenajit went in a certain direction to the forest. So Krishna followed the direction. So at one point he saw the footsteps of a lion. And he could detect that a lion must have killed Prasenajit. So then Krishna followed the footprints of this lion and then he saw the footprints of a bear there. Then Krishna followed the footprints of bear and went into a cave. And that is the cave of Jambavan. And when Krishna entered the cave of Jambavan, he saw a small child playing with the Shamantaka Mani, shining Shamantaka Mani. And as soon as Krishna entered there, the caretaker of that child, a woman, so she started shouting, she started screaming, she was a little afraid. Suddenly some strange human being has come, she was attracted to Krishna's beautiful form, But also she was surprised that some stranger has come here. Then when she screamed, then this Jambavan came there. Jambavan saw Krishna, and Krishna is so enchanting, so charming. But Jambavan, because of the illusory energy of Krishna, thought that Krishna is an ordinary person. And Jambavan thought that Krishna must have come to his cave to steal this Samantaka money. But Jambavan was thinking that this money, I have got it from this lion, and this has to be given to my child as a plaything. Who is this new man coming and taking this? So Jambavan went ahead to fight with Krishna. And Krishna also fought with Jambavan. So like that, Jambavan and Krishna started fighting with each other for 28 days. So why this fight happened between the Supreme Lord and his dearest devotee? Jambavan was such a wonderful devotee who assisted Lord Ramachandra in his war with Ravana. And Lord Ramachandra had sent Hanumanji and Jambavan and Angada, Nala, Neela. There are few monkey warriors who went to search Sita. When they were searching for Sita, they came on the bank of ocean. And they all felt that we cannot cross this ocean. Everybody was silent. Some people were saying that I can go up to 10 yojanas, I can go up to 20 yojanas, but I cannot come back, but I cannot jump across this huge ocean. Then Hanumanji was also sitting silent. Then Jambavan was the person who went to Hanuman and reminded the powers of Hanuman to Hanuman. And then Hanuman got the confidence, and then he expanded his body, and then he jumped across the Lanka ocean and found Sita Devi and gave that news to Lord Ramachandra. So Jambavan is the person who reminded Hanuman of his powers. And during Vamanadeva's incarnation, Jambavan circumambulated Trivikrama. When Lord Vamanadeva became Trivikrama and expanded his foot and covered the entire universe, then Jambavan did a parikrama of Trivikrama. So such is the powerful power of Jambavan. Now that Jambavan started fighting with Krishna, there was a reason behind this fight. One is the devotee's desire. Second is the Supreme Lord's desire. So during Lord Ramachandra's incarnation, Jambavan had a desire. Lord Ram asked Jambavan, "My dear devotee, so you have done a lot of service to me. Do you have any desire that I can fulfill?" Then Jambavan said, "Oh Lord, because I have a lot of power, I feel like fighting with someone. And I don't have anyone to fight with me because everybody is weaker than me. So I want a very strong opponent. So can you please fight with me?" So in this way, Jambavan requested Lord Ram only to fight. Lord Ram said, "Hare, I am Maryada Purushottam. How can I fight with my own devotee? It's not proper. But I will fulfill your desire when in the future I will come as Krishna." So because of Jambavan's desire to fight with the Lord, Jambavan stayed for such a long time, and now he got the opportunity to fight with Krishna. And Krishna also had a desire. Just like Jambavan had a desire to fight with the Lord, Krishna also had a desire to fight. So even the Supreme Lord also has all kinds of desires, and he also has a desire to fight. And when he fights with the demons, Krishna can kill the demon, but the demons are not powerful enough to give a proper fighting pleasure to Krishna. So actually, Jaya and Vijaya were cursed by four Kumaras. We have discussed that episode in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So once the four Kumaras went to the Vaikuntha Loka, and Jaya and Vijaya, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, stopped the four Kumaras from entering Vaikuntha, and four Kumaras cursed Jaya and Vijaya to go to the material world and become demons. And why this happened? Because the Supreme Lord also had a desire to fight, but he cannot fight with his own devotees in Vaikuntha. So, and in this material world, there is no one who can offer a proper fight to the Supreme Lord. So the devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna, they come from the spiritual world to the material world, and they take the forms of great demons like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupala, Dantavakra, and offer that fighting pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So Jaya and Vijaya came down because the Lord had a desire to fight. So Lord also has desire to fight. Now in this manifest incarnation as the Supreme Lord Krishna, Krishna fought with so many demons in Vrindavan and in Mathura. In Vrindavan, Krishna fought with so many demons like Trinavarta, then he killed Aghasur, then Vyomasur, Bakasur, then Arishtasur, then Kaliya, he subdued Kaliya. So he killed and subdued so many demons in Vrindavan, and when he came to Mathura, he fought with Kuvalaya Pida, and he fought with Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kota, all these wrestlers, and he fought with Kamsa, and he effortlessly killed him within just few moments. And later he fought with Jarasandha 17 times, and Jarasandha came with 23 Akshohinis of armies, but Krishna just effortlessly killed all of them and defeated all of them. So although Krishna fought with so many such people, he never was very happy in fighting. He still was feeling that none of these people are not powerful enough to fight with me. I could easily kill them. I want somebody who can properly fight with me. So Krishna also had this desire. So Jambavan fought with Krishna, because Jambavan was a powerful devotee of Krishna. Only Jambavan can satisfy Krishna while fighting. So devotees offer Krishna patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam and many other offerings and satisfy Krishna. But there are some devotees in Virya Rasa, in the rasa of being warriors, they satisfy Krishna by fighting also, by fighting with arrows, by fighting with clubs, like this. So Jambavan, although he saw Krishna, who is non-different from Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan could not recognize Krishna as his dear Lord, because Jambavan had this desire to fight with the Lord, and the Lord has the desire to fight with Jambavan. So after 28 days of fighting with each other, Krishna is satisfied and Jambavan is also satisfied. So when the Lord is satisfied with the service of Jambavan, fighting service of Jambavan, then the Lord revealed his identity to Jambavan. And Jambavan realized, no one can stand in front of me for 28 days. So Jambavan was such a powerful warrior, and Krishna is looking like a tender boy in front of the huge body of Jambavan, who was yugas old, not just few years old. So Jambavan was surprised. Who is this powerful person? He is looking like a very tender boy, but he had such power to stand in front of me for 28 days. So he must be my supreme lord, my worshipable Lord Ramachandra. Then Krishna revealed his identity to Jambavan as Lord Ramachandra, and Jambavan offered heartfelt prayers. Oh Lord, you have come here to fight with me. As Lord Ramachandra, you have killed Ravana and you have done several enchanting pastimes, and I got the opportunity to associate with you in your previous incarnation as Lord Ram. Now you have come as Krishna, so I am very happy. So why did you come here? Then Krishna revealed the whole thing, that Satrajit accused me that I have stolen his Samantaka money, and here is the money. I have come here to take it back. Then Jambavan said, oh Krishna, take this Samantaka money, take also another money, Kanyamani, that is Jambavati, my daughter. So take my daughter Jambavati also. So I am offering her to you as your wife. So Krishna's second wife was Jambavati. So Krishna got Samantaka money, Krishna also got this Kanyamani, our Jambavati. And Krishna took this new wife and this Samantaka money and came back to Dwaraka. And all the Dwarakavasis celebrated the victory of Krishna. And Satrajit was called, and Krishna has given that Samantaka money to Satrajit. See, take this money, I have not stolen. Some lion has killed your brother, and Jambavan has killed that lion and taken this money, and now I have brought it back, so you can take it back. I have no desire for this money. So Satrajit became so embarrassed. He was so humiliated. He felt so guilty. I have unnecessarily accused Krishna that he has stolen my money. So I have blamed him. I have defamed him. I have spread rumors about him. And some people who are very ignorant, they started believing Satrajit's rumors also. So Satrajit felt so defeated and so guilty, and he was repentant. So he went back and he thought for a while. So how will I overcome this offense to the Lord Krishna? So then Satrajit got an idea. So let me offer this Samantagamani back to Krishna along with my daughter Satyabhama. Earlier Satrajit had promised the hand of Satyabhama to some other people also, like Kritavarma, Satadharma and all. So now Satrajit said, okay, I should not be giving my daughter to any of these people. So let me offer my daughter Satyabhama, beautiful Satyabhama, to Krishna alone, no one else. So Satrajit went back to Krishna and said, Krishna, please accept my daughter Satyabhama and also accept the Samantakamani. I want to give this as a gift to you. You have become my son-in-law. Then Krishna said, I will accept this Kanyamani, but I will not accept this Samantakamani. So you only keep it with you. So I can accept your daughter because she is also in love with me. So Krishna married his third wife, that is Satyabhama. So Krishna now had Rukmini as the first wife, Jambavati second wife, and Satyabhama third wife. These are the three marriages of Krishna, first three marriages. So later, Satrajit went back with Samantakamani. He was at his house. And that completes one chapter, 56th chapter. Now we will enter the next chapter. So Krishna and Balaram heard a news from Hastinapur. So in Hastinapur, the sons of Dhritarashtra headed by Duryodhan were always conspiring against Pandavas. So there was a rumor at that time that Pandavas died because the Pandavas and Kunti were kept in a house made of lac, and that house was set to fire by the plan of Duryodhan. So when the house was set to fire, because of Krishna's blessings, the Pandavas could escape from that fire. But no one knows this. So everybody thought that Pandavas died in that fire. When the house was set to fire, Pandavas also died. They felt like that. But Pandavas were hiding somewhere and Krishna knows this. But when the news that Pandavas died came, all the way from Hastinapur to Dwaraka, so as a matter of custom, Krishna and Balaram went to Hastinapur and started joining the relatives who were crying for the death of Pandavas. Some people were actually rejoicing the death of Pandavas, who were the supporters of Duryodhan. But apparently they were just showing some sorrowful faces, and Krishna went there just as a matter of custom. He just went there to console them. So meanwhile, at Dwaraka, Akrura, Satadhanva and Kritavarma, so they came together. So actually Akrura and Kritavarma went to Satadhanva and told, my dear Satadhanva, actually this Satrajit has promised the hand of Satyabhama to us, but now he gave his daughter to Krishna. So now we have to take revenge. So now Satrajit is alone with his Samantakamani. Why not go and steal Samantakamani? Anyways, Krishna and Balaram are not here to question us or to catch us. So let's go and steal Samantakamani. So then Akrura was involved in this conspiracy of Samantakamani now, because earlier Akrura has taken Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura without consoling the gopis, and the gopis were so upset with Akrura. So gopis thought that Akrura was actually Krura. He's very cruel. Without even consoling us, without even pacifying us, he's taking Krishna back, Krishna to Mathura. So because gopis were offended by Akrura, Akrura got involved in this conspiracy now. Then Satadhanva, being instigated by Akrura and Kritavarma, went to Satrajit, and he has killed Satrajit and he has stolen the Samantakamani. Then Satyabhama came to know this. So Satyabhama became very sorrowful that her father died like this. So Satyabhama preserved the dead body of her father, and she went to Hastinapur to inform this news to Krishna. Then hearing this from Satyabhama, Krishna and Balaram came back from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. Then Krishna and Balaram started chasing Satadhanva, because Satadhanva has killed Satrajit and has taken Samantakamani. So Krishna and Balaram wanted to catch Satadhanva. Meanwhile, Satadhanva understood that Krishna and Balaram have returned back to Dwaraka. So he went to Akrura and said, Akrura, he went to Kritavarma. And he said, my dear Kritavarma, can you please help me? Krishna, it seems that Krishna has taken a vow. Krishna and Balaram were chasing me. They might kill me at any time. please help me. Then Kritavarma said, how can I help you? Krishna and Balaram are the supreme primeval lords. How can anyone stand against them? And then Satadhanva went to Akrura. Akrura also said something similar. So Krishna is so powerful. He has lifted Govardhan mountain when he was just 7 years old. He has killed so many demons. He has killed Kamsa also. How can I stand against him? So now I cannot support you in any way. Then Satadhanva said, okay, Akrura, at least take this Shamantaka money and keep it with you. And keep this jewel with you. I am running away. Now my life is in threat. So then Satadhanva started running away. He fled away from Dwarka. Then Krishna and Balaram started chasing Satadhanva. Then somewhere in the outskirts of Dwarka, when they were going towards Mithila only. So then Krishna finally caught Satadhanva and killed Satadhanva. But he did not find Shamantaka Mani with Satadhanva. Then Krishna came and reported to Balaram. Balaram said, okay, fine, we have come all the way till here while chasing Satadhanva. I want to go and meet the king of Mithila. So he is my friend. So let me just go and then see him there. So then Balaramji stayed at Mithila and for several years he stayed there. Then Duryodhan came to Mithila and he has learned the art of club fight from Balaram. That's how Duryodhan became a disciple of Balaram. So Balaram taught Duryodhan the art of fighting with a gada, with a club. So meanwhile Krishna came back after killing Satadhanva. Krishna came back to Dwaraka and Akrura, who was having this Shamantaka Mani, he ran away from Dwaraka. He went to Benares, he went to Kashi. So this Shamantaka Mani was giving lot of gold to Akrura every day. So Akrura was a pious personality. He's a devotee also, great devotee also. So he started performing so many sacrifices in Benares, in Varanasi, which is also called Kashi. So he was doing lot of sacrifices there. And he was distributing charity to common people and brahmanas there. And meanwhile, by the illusory energy of Krishna, lot of inauspicious omens and bad signs started manifesting in Dwaraka. Then some Dwarakavasis believed that because Akrura is not there in Dwaraka, such inauspicious things are happening. Bad natural calamities are happening in Dwaraka. But these ignorant people failed to understand that wherever the Supreme Lord Krishna is there, how can there be any auspiciousness in that place? And Krishna created such calamities in Dwaraka by his own energy. And the ignorance of these people has been revealed. So then people again started gossiping about Krishna. Oh, Krishna must have sent Akrura somewhere else. What happened to Shamantaka Mani, we don't know. What happened to Akrura, we don't know. Because of Akrura's absence, there are natural calamities in Dwaraka. Because Akrura is the son of Svafalka, and it is said that wherever Akrura is there, Indra would provide profuse amount of rains sufficiently in that place. So Akrura is a very auspicious personality and he has that fame. But because Akrura is missing, there is inauspiciousness in Dwaraka. Some people thought like this. But they could not understand that Krishna is there, who is the source of supreme auspiciousness. Then Krishna called for Akrura back to Dwaraka. So Akrura was doing sacrifices in Varanasi and Krishna could easily understand it. And Akrura was called back to Dwaraka and Krishna told Krishna, my dear Akrura, I am sure you must be having the Shamantaka Mani. So Shamantaka Mani was the property of Satrajit. And Satrajit does not have sons. So the sons of Satrajit's daughter Satyabhama are the rightful people who can inherit this property of Shamantaka Mani. But still, you are having that Shamantaka Mani. So you can keep it with you only. But just show it to people once. Then Akrura brought out that Shamantaka Mani and showed it to Krishna. And Krishna showed it to other people. And now all the rumors are gone. So in this way, Krishna became very mild and gentle upon Akrura. And Akrura got involved in this conspiracy because of his offense to the gopis. So through this pastime, we should also understand that gossip and fault finding are very common in this world. Even Krishna is also misunderstood by people of his own city, Dwaraka. So when we are misunderstood by someone, we should not be surprised, we should not be disgraced or devastated. If possible, we should clarify those misunderstandings. So Krishna clarified the misunderstanding. First time, Krishna was misunderstood by Satrajit and some of the people who believed his words. Satrajit said that Krishna has stolen Samantagamani. So Krishna proved his innocence. Because Krishna was a prince, he was on the royal order, he was on the ruling side, and if people do not have trust on him, then they do not have trust on the royal order. So Krishna felt that I should prove my innocence. So like that, twice Krishna was misunderstood by his Dwarakavasis only. Second time, Dwarakavasis misunderstood that there are natural disturbances in this in Dwaraka. What happened to Akrura? Because of Akrura's absence only these things are happening. So there also Krishna was misunderstood. So Krishna must have done something there. So people felt like that. So Krishna clarified those misunderstandings. So in this world, fault finding, gossip and misunderstanding are quite common. So we should not be surprised. We should diligently deal with them just as Krishna has done it. And sometimes it could be beyond our capacity also. But we should not feel disheartened or discouraged. We should try to clarify. And if it's beyond our capacity, at least we should have the maturity and patience to tolerate them and wait for the right situation to come. So one should not feel so devastated when one is misunderstood. So that completes the episode of Samantakamani. So Samantakamani, which was the great cause of auspiciousness, caused inauspiciousness in the life of Satrajit, and Satrajit was ultimately killed because of this Samantakamani only. So when we offend the Supreme Lord, when we become disrespectful to the Supreme Lord, when we disregard his instructions, then what is supposed to be giving us auspiciousness and good fortune could become the cause of our bad fortune also. So our greatest fortune is to align ourselves with the instructions of the Supreme Lord. The Dwarakavasis once prayed to Krishna. They said that, Bhavaya nastvam bhava vishva bhavana tvameva mata tasuhrutpati pita tvam sadgurur naha paramam cha daivatam yasyana vrittya kurtino babhuvima. The Dwarakavasis were saying that, Bhavaya nastvam bhava vishva bhavana, O Lord, you are the creator of the entire universe. So, Tvameva Matata Suhrut Patihi Pita. You are our mother, you are our father, you are our well-wisher, you are our guru, and you are our worshipable deity. Paramamcha Daivatam. Yasya Anuvrittya Krutino Babhumima. So, we attain all success only by following your instructions. Anuvrittya means following very sincerely and loyally. Loyally and sincerely following the instructions of the Supreme Lord will bring us good fortune, and not by disregarding his instructions, his suggestions. So Satrajit rejected it. And we have seen that Samantakamani. Samantakamani is ultimately a material object that is giving material wealth. But in front of the Samantakamani, the Supreme Lord is Gopala Chudamani. So there is one beautiful verse in Mukundamala Stotra that has money word 8 times. Bhakta paya bhujanga garuda mani trailokya rakshamani gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani yah kanta mani rukmini ghanakucha dvandvaika bhushamani shreyo devasikhamani dishatunaha gopala chudamani. Bhaktapaya Bhujanga Garuda Mani. Krishna looks like a beautiful, precious, bluish gem on the back of this golden mountain-like bird carrier, Garuda. And he protects the devotees. Bhaktapaya Bhujanga Garuda Mani. And Trailokya Rakshamani. He is the most precious gem, that jewel that can protect all the residents of the three worlds. Yeah, Kantamani Rukmini, of all the Kantas, of all the wives of Krishna, and of, in fact of all the women, Rukmini is considered the greatest. Yaha kantamani rukmini ghanakucha dandvaika bhushamani. Krishna is like a precious ornament, a jeweled ornament on the heart of Rukmini Devi. Then gopi lochana chatakambudamani saundarya mudravani. So Krishna is like bluish gem, and just like Chataka bird constantly sees for the raindrops that are coming from the rain clouds, which are also bluish in color like Krishna. Similarly, the gopis are constantly looking forward for the darshan of Krishna to satisfy their eyes. So that's why Krishna is called Chataka Ambudamani. So Ambudamani. So he is like a jewel-like cloud that can give pleasure to the Chataka bird-like eyes of the gopis. Chataka Ambudamani, Saundarya Mudramani. And Krishna is that precious jewel which is abode of all beauties. Saundarya Mudramani. Then Gopi Lochana Chatakambudamani Saundarya Mudravani Yah Kantamani Rukmini Ghanakucha Dvandvaika Bhushamani and Shreyo Deva Sikhamani Dishatunaha Gopala Chudamani. So of all the cowherd men, Krishna is like the most, he is the crest jewel of all cowherd men. So in this way, Krishna is compared to Mani in this beautiful shloka. But the Shamantaka Mani is a material object that could give material wealth. And that is ultimately auspicious on a material plane, but it could be inauspicious also when someone goes against Krishna. That's what we have seen in Satrajit's case. So we have completed these two chapters, 56 and 57. Now we will go to the 58th chapter that describes the next five marriages of Krishna. So we have seen the first queen of Krishna, that is Rukmini Devi, second queen Jambavati, third queen Satyabhama. Then fourth queen of Krishna was Kalindi. So once Krishna went to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas. Then Krishna had spent a lot of time with Arjuna and the other Pandavas, and he had very loving exchanges and reciprocations with his friends. And Mother Kunti, Queen Kunti and Yudhishthira Maharaj offered prayers to Krishna, and they exchanged pleasantries, and they were dependent on Krishna always. Then, in this time only, Krishna enabled Arjuna to burn this Khandava forest, to help Agni to burn this Khandava forest. Khandava forest has a lot of medicinal herbs, and Agni just burnt it so that he can take the benefit of all these medicinal herbs in that forest. Then Agni gifted a beautiful chariot, shining chariot to Arjuna, and Arjuna is equipped for future wars and destroying the demoniac people to assist Arjuna to reduce the, assist Krishna to reduce the burden of earth. So that happened during Krishna's visit to Indraprastha. So another event is, once Krishna and Arjuna, when they were staying in Indraprastha, once Krishna and Arjuna went to the forest, there they saw a very beautiful young girl. Then Krishna told Arjuna, "Arjuna, can you just go and inquire her, who is she?" So Arjuna went there and asked, "Oh, beautiful girl, what are you doing alone here? Who are you? Whose daughter are you? What is your activity here?" Then she said that, "Arjuna, my name is Kalindi, and I am the daughter of Sun God. And I am doing so many austerities under waters just with a great desire to have the Supreme Lord Vishnu as my husband. I will not marry anyone else other than Supreme Lord Vishnu. So I am just doing austerities." Then Krishna understood her desire. Actually, Krishna understood her desire before she revealed it to Arjuna only. But still, Krishna told Arjuna to go and find out what's there in her mind. Now Krishna and Arjuna took that beautiful girl Kalindi and then went to Indraprastha. Later, Krishna took Kalindi to Dwaraka and then married her in Dwaraka. So this is the fourth queen of Krishna, Kalindi, who was the daughter of Sun God. Now fifth queen, her name is Mitravinda. So Mitravinda was the princess of Avantipura. So there was a province called Avanti, and somehow the rulers of Avanti were the followers of Duryodhan. They were friends of Duryodhan. So this Mitravinda had given her heart to Krishna. She wanted to marry Krishna, but still, because Mitravinda's brothers, means the rulers of Avanti province, they were the supporters of Duryodhan. They did not like the idea to offer Mitravinda in marriage to Krishna. So Krishna understood her heart. So Krishna went to this Avanti province and he had forcibly kidnapped Mitravinda, and he started riding his chariot and then going back to Dwarka. And then so many armies of Avanti province, they came to attack Krishna, and Krishna effortlessly defeated all of them and brought Mitravinda to Dwarka and then married her. So in this way, when a devotee has a sincere desire to serve Krishna or be with Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with that desire. So Krishna understood the heart of Mitravinda, and he came all the way to Avanti province and accepted her as his queen. Then the sixth queen of Krishna was named Nagnajiti. So she was the daughter of Nagnajiti, the king. So she was also called Satya. So she also loved Krishna. And definitely her father, Nagnajit, he also was a very great devotee of Krishna, and he was very much favorable to Krishna. But this Nagnajit, the king of King Nagnajit, he wanted to offer his daughter Nagnajiti or Satya in marriage to a powerful person who can subdue 7 bulls. So this King Nagnajit had 7 bulls in his kingdom, and their noses were not pierced with a rope. So it is said that bull can be controlled when a rope passes through the nose, but he did not tie them like that. So they are very powerful bulls. So then this Nagnajit thought that I should give my daughter to a person who can subdue these 7 bulls, who can defeat these 7 bulls. So many kings and princes tried to fight with these bulls, but their limbs were broken, their bodies were broken, they were not as powerful as these bulls. So once Krishna came to the kingdom of this Nagnajit, and Nagnajit, being a very very devoted personality, he received Krishna very well and gave him all kinds of hospitality, and he became very grateful that Krishna visited his kingdom and asked him, "My dear Krishna, can you please tell me what am I supposed to do to please you? So I am very pleased that you have come to my kingdom. How can I serve you? Please tell me." Then Krishna said, "My dear king, I want your daughter Nagnajiti as my wife. So give your daughter to me." Then king said that it's my great fortune to give my daughter to you as your queen. But I had kept one condition. As a Kshatriya, I had taken a vow that I will get my daughter married to only that person who can subdue the 7 bulls. Krishna, can you please try this once? Then Krishna said, "Why not? Get your 7 bulls. So all these 7 great bulls were standing there, and Krishna expanded himself into 7 forms. 7 Krishnas were there. So Krishna expanded himself into 7 forms, and he fought with the 7 bulls and subdued those 7 bulls effortlessly, and then married Nagnajiti. Satya, she was also called Satya. So Satya Bhama is different than Satya is different. So Krishna tamed these 7 bulls and took her. And although Krishna won this challenge, still there were some inimical kings who wanted to fight with Krishna when Krishna was marrying Nagnajiti. So Krishna defeated all of them. And that is the marriage of Krishna, 6th marriage of Krishna. So she is called Nagnajiti. And Nagnajiti also was desiring, she was praying to Lord, praying to Ambika that, "Oh, mother, goddess, so please, please let me have Krishna as my husband." She also desired Krishna. So that is the 6th marriage of Krishna. And as a dowry, King Nagnajit gave 10,000 cows, 3,000 young maid servants, and 9,000 elephants, and 100 times as many chariots as elephants, 100 times as many horses as chariots, 100 times as many manservants as horses. So in this way, a big dowry was given along with Nagnajiti to Krishna. So this is not a compulsion or a force, But the father of the girl very happily gives lot of wealth to her daughter when she is going to the husband's house in the Vedic culture. So then Krishna's marriage with the seventh queen was also described by Sukadeva Goswami in this chapter. So her name is Bhadra. So Bhadra was the princess of Kaikeya kingdom, and she was the daughter of Krishna's parental aunt named Srutakirti. So the Lord married her when her brothers headed by Santardhana offered her to him. So Bhadra is the seventh queen of Krishna. Then the eighth queen is named Lakshmana, and Lakshmana's Swayamvara ceremony was very peculiar. So Lakshmana, just like Arjuna, killed Arjuna just won the challenge of a Matsyayantra. Matsyayantra means in a big machine, a fish was kept, and Arjuna had to pierce that fish to marry Draupadi. Similarly, this Lakshmana's father also had erected a great Matsyayantra, which was much more complicated than the Matsyayantra which was solved by Arjuna. So Krishna defeated all the opponent kings, and then he married this Lakshmana. Actually, this Lakshmana's marriage story, Swayamvara ceremony, was not described in this chapter. It is described in the 10th canto, 83rd chapter. So Lakshmana shares about her marriage story with Draupadi at Kurukshetra. So when we come to that chapter, we will discuss it in little more detail. So that completes Krishna's marriages with eight principal queens. The first queen was Rukmini, next Jambavati, then third Satyabhama, then Kalindi, then Mitravinda, Nagnajiti, Bhadra and Lakshmana. These are the eight principal queens of Krishna. And after that, Krishna married 16,100 queens, 100 girls, who were captivated by a demon named Narakasur. That episode we will discuss now in the 59th chapter. In the 59th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes that Krishna once killed Bhaumasura or Narakasura. Both are same personality. He had two names, Bhaumasura and Narakasura. This Bhaumasura was actually the son of Bhumi Devi. That's why he is called Bhaumasura, and he is also called Narakasura. So once, when Krishna was staying in Dwaraka with his principal queens, once the king of heaven Indra came to visit Krishna, and Indra reported to Krishna, "Krishna, there is a great demon named Narakasur. He is staying in his kingdom called Pragjyotishapura. So he created a lot of disturbance in heavenly planets also. He has stolen Mother Aditi's earrings. He has stolen Varuna's umbrella. So he is creating a lot of disturbance to common people also. So he is against the Vedic culture. He is stopping sacrifices. He is doing so much of disturbance. So can you please go and kill him?" Then Krishna agreed to help Indra. And Krishna called his bird carrier Garuda. On the back of Garuda, Krishna sat. And Satyabhama also accompanied Krishna when Krishna was going for this fight. So Krishna and Satyabhama were sitting on the back of Garuda with weapons, and they went to Pragjyotishapura, that is Narakasur's kingdom, to fight with Narakasur. Then Narakasur's kingdom was guarded by a great demon named Murasura. So this Murasura had five heads and he had seven sons. So, first Murasura and his sons came to attack Krishna. So, that's why Krishna is also called Muraripum. So, Muraripum means the person who has killed Murasura. So, then this Murasura came with his trident to attack Krishna, and Garuda was also there. So, Garuda flapped his wings and then he started fighting with Murasura, and Krishna also fought with Murasura's seven sons. So eventually in a fight, Krishna killed Murasur, Krishna killed the seven sons of Murasur also. So Krishna beheaded the five heads of Murasur with his Sudarshan Chakra. And later Krishna went ahead. That's why Krishna is called Murarupum. There is a beautiful shloka. Jihve kirtaya keshavam Murarupum cheto bhaja shridharam. So in this shloka, jihve kirtaya keshavam, with your tongue, you please glorify Lord Keshava, and Muraripam Cheto Bhaja. With your consciousness, you meditate upon Muraripu, Krishna. So Krishna has one more name called Muraripu. So Krishna killed Murasur, Krishna killed his sons, and then Krishna went ahead. Krishna pierced through the coverings of all Narakasura's kingdom. Narakasura's kingdom is covered so nicely. So there were rock fortifications. Rock fortifications of Narakasura's kingdom were smashed by Krishna's Kaumodaki Gada. And later there were weapon fortifications. Krishna released his arrows from his Sangadhanva and Sangabhav, and then he destroyed those weapon fortifications. And then there were fortifications of fire, water and wind. They were destroyed by Krishna's Sudarshana Chakra. And then Mura had a pasha, a rope named Mura Pasha. So they are like cables, pasha, ropes. So Krishna just cut them with swords. So then Krishna cut the five heads of Murasur, and Krishna also killed his sons. So in this way, Krishna went ahead, and then finally Narakasura, Bhaumasur came. So Narakasura's main associates, Murasur, he died. So Narakasura had to come. So Narakasura came to fight with Krishna, and Bhaumasur then first attacked Garuda, and then Garuda was unshaken. So Garuda was such a powerful bird carrier of Krishna, and then eventually Krishna killed Narakasura also. Then Narakasura's mother Bhumi Devi, the goddess of earth, she came in front of Krishna and she offered heartfelt prayers to Krishna. Krishna, this Bhaumasur, although my son, so he has created a lot of disturbance. So now there is Bhaumasur's son, means our grandson. So he's a gentleman, so can you please bless him? So like that, Bhumi Devi kept Narakasura's son in front of Krishna. Now, Bhumi is also one of the consorts of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, Varahadev, in his incarnation is Varahadev. So, now Krishna did not hesitate to kill his own son Narakasura when he became a cause of disturbance to common people and the heavenly denizens or the devatas. So, that shows Krishna's deep renunciation, the opulence of Krishna's renunciation. So then Krishna blessed the son of Narakasura and installed Narakasura's son as the king of Pragjyotishapura. So Krishna did not kill Narakasura out of his greed for the kingdom of Pragjyotishapura. He just wanted to establish dharma there. So Krishna gave that kingdom back to Narakasura's son. And then Bhumi Devi also presented Aditi's earrings and Varuna's umbrella, everything to Krishna, and Krishna happily accepted them. And after that, Krishna entered into the inner chambers of Narakasura's kingdom. Then he saw 16,108 girls. They are great princesses coming from different kingdoms. So Krishna saw all of them and he released them. Then Krishna said, you can go back to your kingdoms, don't worry. So now this demon died, so you don't have to fear him, you can go back. But how can these girls go back? So they were attracted to Krishna's beautiful form, and once they were captivated by a heinous demon, so they may not be accepted back again into their kingdoms, or other people may not accept them. So Krishna looked at them with merciful glances, and Krishna had sent all the 16,100 girls to Dwaraka. And later when Krishna went back to Dwaraka, he married all the 16,100 girls simultaneously. And it's not that because he married all of them and he rescued them from this predicament, it's not that Krishna was not treating them properly. Krishna has made 16,108 palaces for his 16,108 queens, the 8 principal queens and the 16,100 girls. So he has made 16,108 palaces, and he expanded himself into 16,108 farms and spent time with all these queens. So Krishna can take care of all these queens in a very exemplary manner and conduct his household life, grihastha life, in an exemplary manner, setting the right example for all the humanity to follow. So then Krishna, after sending these 16,100 girls to Dwaraka, Krishna and Satyabhama on the back of Garuda went to the heaven. So in heaven, Krishna was received so affectionately by Indra. So Krishna gave the Aditi's earrings, and Krishna also gave Varuna's umbrella to Indra, and Indra very gratefully accepted them. And Krishna also informed that we have killed this Bhaumasura or Narakasura, and Indra became very happy, and Indra gave all kinds of hospitality to Krishna and Satyabhama. And in the heaven, Satyabhama saw the Parijata tree. So Parijata tree came out of the churning of milk ocean. So that's decorating the heavenly planets. Then Satyabhama was attracted to this Parijata tree, and Krishna wanted to uproot that Parijata tree and take it to Dwaraka and plant it in the courtyard of Satyabhama. Then Indra, being instigated by his queens, he came to fight with Krishna. Although Indra was thoroughly humiliated when Krishna was just 7 years old, so Indra had sent big storm to inundate the entire Vrindavan, but Krishna protected all the Vrijavasis from Indra's wrath, and then humiliated Indra, and Indra begged apologies from Krishna. And now again Indra got into fight with Krishna. Although Indra went and begged forgiveness from Krishna after Govardhan episode, it was definitely sincere to some extent, but it was not with a 100% pure heart, because Indra was not only guilty, he also wanted to avoid punishment from Krishna. So, Krishna only protected Vrijavasis, but Krishna did not punish me yet. So, now Krishna might punish me. So, Indra wanted to avoid that punishment. So, now Indra again repeated the similar mistake in front of Krishna now. Krishna wanted to take Parijata tree, and Indra was supposed to give that Parijata tree to Krishna with grateful heart. Everything that Indra has in his heavenly kingdom was only a benediction or blessing of Krishna, and forgetting his own connection with Krishna, forgetting his own subordinate position in front of Krishna, this Indra behaved very whimsically, and then he got into a quarrel with Krishna, and Krishna again had to teach a lesson to Indra and then take this Parijata tree to satisfy his wife Satyabhama. So like that, Indra had to give the Parijata tree, and then after coming back to Dwaraka along with Satyabhama and Parijata tree, Krishna married the 16,100 princesses, and then he dealt with his wives in a very exemplary manner. So that completes the 59th chapter. Now we will enter the 60th chapter. 60th chapter describes a very sweet incident that happened between Krishna and Rukmini Devi. So Rukmini in her palace would personally serve Krishna, although she had hundreds of maid servants. So once Krishna was sitting in the palace of Rukmini, while Rukmini was serving him so lovingly and affectionately, and Krishna started speaking some joking words to Rukmini. He started teasing Rukmini. At that time Rukmini stayed with Krishna for a long time, for several years. They will never become old, but their association was quite long enough. So Krishna started teasing Rukmini. "Rukmini, why did you marry me? I'm just a cowherd boy, and I ran away from Mathura city, and I'm staying here in this fort in the middle of the ocean, this Dwaraka fort. So why did you come to me? You could have married Shishupal, or you could have married any other great king, Kshatriya. So now, although I am believed to be a Kshatriya, but still I had the background of being a cowherd boy. So because Krishna somehow just presented himself in a very low manner, and he said that I am not qualified husband to you. So then Rukmini took all the words of Krishna very seriously. Oh, maybe Krishna will abandon me now. So Rukmini could not even bear the thought of leaving Krishna. So Rukmini just collapsed. Rukmini just fainted. She became unconscious. Then Krishna immediately picked up Rukmini and then wiped her tears and said, Oh, Rukmini Devi, I'm just joking. I was just joking. I didn't mean to hurt you in any way. So this is the only pleasure of grihasthas, to just have some joking exchanges with their wives. So why did you take all these things seriously? So please don't worry, I will not leave you. Then Rukmini started systematically countering all the arguments presented by Krishna. Krishna presented himself little low, and he said that other kings are more qualified to marry you. Then Rukmini smashed all the arguments of Krishna systematically, and Krishna was very impressed with the devotion of Rukmini, and then Krishna appreciated her devotion. So that in this way Krishna very sweetly had beautiful exchanges with Rukmini Devi and all his queens. So when a sample is given, so Krishna would stay with 16,108 queens in 16,108 palaces, simultaneously in 16,108 forms, and in the morning Krishna would come out of all these palaces. 16,108 Krishnas will come out of these palaces, and all of them will merge into one Krishna, and Krishna will go on his chariot to the Sudharma assembly hall to conduct that day's meetings. So in this way Krishna lived his beautiful household life. And in the first canto there is a beautiful shloka that describes Krishna's household life. Uddhava bhava pishuna malaval guhasa vridavaloka nihato madano apiyasam sammuhya chapamajahat pramadottamasta yasyendriyam vimathitum kuhakairna sekuhu. Uddhama bhava pishuna malaval guhasa. All these queens of Krishna, queens in Dwaraka, they have uddhama bhava, means grave expressions. Pishuna amala valguhasa, they have beautiful glances and charming smiles. And nihato madanopi yasan. So seeing all these feminine attributes of all these queens, even Cupid also can get attracted. Amadanopi yasam, even the most sober personality Shiva also could get captivated by the beauty of these queens. But yasyendriyam vimathitum kuhakairna sekuhu. The senses of Krishna are never agitated with the feminine attributes of all these queens. Krishna is attracted to their loving devotional service and not their feminine attributes. Of course, their feminine attributes are also spiritual. On a spiritual plane, Krishna could get attracted. But the point here is that there is no trace of mundane lust between Krishna and his queens. So they are purely on a platform of spiritual love and not on material lust. So whether Krishna interacts with the gopis of Vrindavan, which are Gopi Gana, or the queens of Dwaraka, which are called Mahishi Gana. So Krishna's conjugal affairs are purely based on spiritual love, and there is no trace of material lust in those affairs. So that's how today we have discussed Krishna's 16,107 marriages. And tomorrow we will discuss further pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.